This weekend, we're going to talk about putting it together again when it's all falling apart. Because the truth is that we live in a world where things fall apart. We also serve a God that's in the business of putting things back together again. So we're going to talk about what do you do? What do you and I do when it's falling apart? And I want to tell you, if it's not falling apart right now, it will. It's going to. And even if it's not falling apart right now, you may know someone that for them it's falling apart. You may have a family member. For them it's falling apart. So I want you to listen to the message. I want you to take notes in the outlines that you were given. Then I want you to pass it along. There's lots of things that fall apart in your life. Let's look at the top of your outline. Psalm 119:107 says, everything's falling apart on me, God. Put me together again with your word. God has a promise here that his word has the power to put us together again. Sometimes our relationships are falling apart. Amen? Luke 1:17 says, he will bring fathers and children together again. I know there's some dads here that maybe you have a relationship with one of your kids and it's falling apart. Maybe it's falling apart with all your kids. And you'd like to put it back together again. Maybe there's someone here that just had a prayer request that their marriage is falling apart. Maybe moms and daughters, you know, they may not have such a good relationship sometimes, and it might be falling apart. Or friends. You may be have some friends, and there's a wedge dividing. Well, God wants to put those back together again. And the good news is he has the power to do that. And sometimes it's just stuff that falls apart. A business, or maybe even a ministry. We talk about the church. Or maybe there's some sort of natural disaster. When Nehemiah was picked to rebuild a wall that had fell down, that came down in Jerusalem. Here's what it says in Nehemiah 2:20. The God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. So I want you to think about a question that I'm about to ask you. Is this, what is it for you that needs to be rebuilt in this life? What is it that you need rebuilt? And if so, you ought to grab hold of this verse, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. You ought to memorize that verse so that you can recall it. There's some lessons that we can learn from Nehemiah, as I've been reading this week, as he rebuilt that wall. The same thing applies to relationships and businesses and just life. Getting it back together again. And I think today I can give you about three how-tos to give you some hope. You may have come here this morning feeling like you don't have hope to rebuild something in your life that's been torn down. And I would like for you to even talk about this in your small groups. I'd like for you to talk about this at home, in lunch, in work. Talk about it with your spouse. Talk about it with your friends. Now, before we start, I need to say this, I guess, is putting it back together doesn't mean that it will look just like it was. Because it's not rewinding and pretending that it never happened. This is a matter of going on from there and realizing that God has something new for you. Or I like the word that God has something fresh for you and I and to do in your life. It means that sometimes when you put a relationship back together again, that sometimes the person is going to say no. You may want to put it back together, but they're just going to say no. I don't want to put it back together. But even in that circumstance, God can put you back together again. God can start a new you. He wants to do some things in your life. So where are you at in all of this? I want to tell you, God wants to do some work in your life, but you have to start. Well, where do you start? So that's the first how-to I want to look at, is how to start. I know some of you guys don't have the energy to rebuild something, because when something falls apart, it wears you out, doesn't it? It wears you out physically. It wears you out emotionally. But Nehemiah, as I began to read Nehemiah, he surprised me on this, on how to. As many times as I've read the book of Nehemiah, he surprised me on this. Because I expected him, in my mind, to act like a man and just go right over and dive into it. I really learned a lesson from this. Look at Nehemiah 1, 3, and 4. They said to me, "The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Three things he did was he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. So that tells me to put things back together, to rebuild some broken down walls in our life. The first three things that we got to do to get started is to mourn, fast, and pray. And out of that, God can give you and I the strength to just begin, just to get started. Let's define mourning real quick on your outlines is this. Mourning is this: expressing your hurt to God. Expressing your hurt, just fill in that, hurt to God. All that is saying is just taking the time to say, "God, this hurts. God, this is tearing me apart." Because here's what I want to tell you. Unless you mourn, you cannot look to the future, because you will absolutely get stuck in the hurt. I want you to get that. Unless you mourn, you can't look into the future, because you're going to get stuck in your hurt. But also, if you don't mourn, you're not going to get God's comfort. Jesus taught us this in Matthew. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So if you want comfort from God, you better take time to mourn. You better take time to mourn. And men, we're not good at mourning. Some women are. Because our culture isn't even very good at mourning. We got a lot to learn. I know I do about mourning. But there's lots of models in the Old Testament for mourning. You know, I look at Abraham and Mordecai. They're great examples. Me, I want to mourn too fast. I want to mourn too clean. You know, just want to get back to work until the feeling goes away. That doesn't work. The feeling does not go away. It takes time to mourn. Here's another thing about mourning. It ain't pretty. It ain't pretty to mourn. The models in the Old Testament tell us when we mourn not to keep it inside. It says let other people know what you're going through. And it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. But it's healing. So if you don't mourn what you've lost, you're not going to see past your hurt. Whether it's a friendship, whether it's a job, whether it's a parent, whether it's a spouse, whatever it is, if you don't mourn, you'll never see past your hurt and you'll be stuck there. And that's where you're going to. So that's where we start. We got to mourn. The second thing you do, according to Nehemiah, is fast. Write this down. Fasting is this: focusing your heart on God. Focusing your heart on God. Now, it may not be a food fast that you do. Can I get a big amen to that? Amen. And I say it's not even food this time, because to focus on God during your mourning, you need some time. You need some time in your life. So here's what I would suggest. Some of you, and this may hurt some more than food, some of you need an entertainment fast. Some of you need an entertainment fast. You know, sometimes we just got to take some time and think and focus on God. So some of us just need to turn off the radio. Some of us just need to turn off some podcast. And I know this is going to hurt right here. Some of you guys are going to have to turn off Netflix for a couple of weeks. I know you're thinking, man, I'm in the third season and the fifth episode. There's only four seasons and six more episodes of that to go. I can't do that. Some of us need an entertainment fact. Use that time to let God speak to you. Because here's why. When God speaks, He whispers. He whispers, and we can't hear Him if we got all these loud noises and busyness going on in our life. God speaks in the quietness. So make some space to sense that God is with you. Joel 2:12 says, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Take time to do this. I guarantee you this. God will meet you there. He will meet you there. He will give you direction. You can't force it, but He'll meet you there. He's going to give you the next step to take. Look at the next one in Acts. Acts 13:2 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. This is before he changed his name to Paul. Barnabas and Paul, the journey that they took changed the world. Changed the world. Guys, there's a lot of power in taking some time to focus on God. So we might need an entertainment fast. Take some time to focus on it. Now, praying. This is the third thing that Nehemiah did. Praying is this: asking for help from God. When you got to rebuild something, when something's been broken, when something falls apart, you got to ask for help from God. What that saying is, God, I can't do this on my own. I just absolutely can't do this on my own. I need your strength. The most powerful one-word prayer, in my opinion, is this: help. Help, God. Help. You don't know how many times I pray this prayer as I'm leading my family, as I'm leading this church. I'm not smart enough to lead this church. I'm not talented enough to lead this church. I don't think I'm smart enough to lead my family. But I will say this today. Me and Angie have been married for 29 years. Yeah. 29 years. I brought Angie a long way. I told the 9 o'clock service this morning when I first met Angie, she didn't even have no shoes on. Bought her first pair of shoes. Taught her how to use a fork. She's listening outside now. And I'll hear that. But I've often cried out for help in those 29 years. And in these 20 years here at North Point, I've often cried out for help. And I have to make a choice. Am I going to lean on my own strength, or am I going to lean on the Lord's? Am I going to admit that I have weaknesses? I found out that the verse is true, that God gives grace to the humble. When you humble yourself, God gives grace and power. I have to ask myself, am I going to ask others for help? Or am I just going to try to do this on my own? With God's help and His strength, you can do this. You can do this. What He wants to rebuild in your life. Ephesians 1:19 says, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great His power is to help those who believe Him. A power that you and I can't imagine. So, you know how to start. You know how to start now. We mourn, we fast, and we pray. Here's the second step, the second how-to. How to keep going. If we know how to start, we got to learn how to keep going. Because any rebuilding, whether it's a relationship or a business, whatever it is, it's a project. Everybody know what a project is? A project takes time. It takes a lot of time. You're going to need energy. You're going to need strength to make it through. Well, where do you find this strength? Where do you find this energy? Well, here's the first thing I want you to write down. Take time to say thank you. Just take some time to say thank you. Because when you say thank you, great energy flows through your life. When you take time to say thank you and encourage other people, take time to say thank you to God. I got kind of spent physically these past 2 weeks and emotionally. But you can go back and look at my journal. A couple of days, all I did was thank Him. I thank God for y'all. I thank God for my wife and my kids and in my business. And I just sat there and wrote out my thanks. Thanked Him for my good health. Thanked Him for a lot of things. And I'm telling you, it started, I was revitalized. Look what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:8. First, I want to say that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because people everywhere in the world are talking about your faith. I don't know if you know this or not, but you should. People all over the world are thanking you. North Point Church, all over the world. They're thanking you in Afghanistan. They're thanking you in India. They're thanking you in Belize. They're thanking you in Mexico. They're thanking you in Liberia right now. They're thanking you in Adairsville, Cartersville. They're thanking you for your faith. They talk about how you, God working through you, has changed people's lives. They're thanking you because, and they're talking about you, about how you trust God to do things that no one else can. So thank God for that. And thank a person for that. Ephesians 1:16 says, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I would think of you and give thanks. Tell the people and encourage the folks that you're thankful for. I'd like for you to do this today. Don't waste a day. Just do it today. Write a note to that person that you're thankful for. It may be your mom. It may be your best friend. It may be your spouse. It may be a teacher. It may be your child. But write a note to that person. I know somebody's popped up on your mind. Don't waste the time. Write them a note. You know, because some people feel unappreciated. You ever feel unappreciated? I feel unappreciated sometimes. And I'd come up here when I felt unappreciated, and I'd sit there for a minute, and I'd just be in a little pity party. Slam doors and mope around and talk about how nobody really cared about me. What I found out that the Bible teaches that we should find someone else. When we feel unappreciated, find someone else that you can encourage. Find someone else that you can go to them and say, I appreciate you. I appreciate the example that you've set before me. We got to choose to appreciate. Choose to appreciate. Write that down. Choose to appreciate. Choose to say thank you. Next, we got to choose to celebrate. We got to choose to celebrate. We got to choose to celebrate God and for who He is. Choose to celebrate that all that God has put in your life. We get so intense that we think we got to celebrate after the project is done. But don't wait until it's done. Celebrate so that you will have the energy to keep going. Celebrate every day. And the center of all celebration is worship. Psalm 106 says, we will celebrate and praise you, Lord. You are good to us, and your love never fails. You can celebrate no matter how you feel this week. I just encouraged my son this week. He was all down and kind of out, and I said, start singing, man. Start singing praises to the Lord. Celebrate what He's done for you. Choose to celebrate. It's our choice to say thank you. It's our choice whether to sit in that pity party ourselves or we can encourage to someone else. It's a choice. And it's also a choice that we could celebrate. And it gets you out of this funk. Whatever you're in this week. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, joy gives strength. The joy of the Lord gives you strength. Not the joy of you that gives you strength. Because remember, it's not about you. You cannot manufacture joy. This is you receiving joy from the Lord. And that's where true strength comes from. Look what the people did. I love what the people did here. Nehemiah 8:12. So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal. I love how they celebrate. They get together and eat. Eat. No baked chocolate oatmeal cookies and birthday cake. And they shared gifts of food. And they celebrated with great joy because they had heard God's words and they understood them. So we can celebrate hearing God's word and understanding them. You know, I've noticed that we, and me too, Me too. I've noticed that we celebrate the small things more than the big things. We celebrate a great catch. I look forward to watching ESPN's top 10 plays. Have y'all been watching the basketball games? Well, y'all know Golden State swept Cleveland, right? Now, I myself have been celebrating that for a few days, and I celebrated big. Do you know why? Because my son Luke is a big LeBron James fan. I'm not. I'm a big Golden State fan. And why I'm celebrating that is I'm $5 richer now from Luke. Amen? I've been celebrating big. Every time I pass him in the hall, hey, you got $5 I can borrow? How about old Curry? I've been celebrating big. I've been going on for several days about that. But did you hear, I loved it because it was right on time. Did you hear when I said we were going to baptize Kami Lindsay today? Woohoo, got it again. I wish I could whistle like that. We celebrate a baptism for an afternoon. Here's what I'm saying. I'll go to the work the next day. I'll say, Nick, man, did you see Kevin Durant put on the show last night? Who I really want to be and where I really want to be is Nick. Did you see Cammy when I baptized her? Did you see how her life has changed? Did you really see what God has done in her life and what he's doing? That's what I really want to celebrate. More than the $5 I won from Luke. I want to celebrate changed lives. I want to celebrate baptisms. I want to get together and eat birthday cake. White icing. Roses the size of my fist. That's what I want to celebrate. I want to never forget each and every baptism. And I tend to celebrate the small things more than the big things. You see, changed lives are forever. Changed lives are forever. LeBron will be back. Changed lives are going to last. LeBron will retire. Out of this celebration comes the strength that we need to keep going. Now, just to clarify things, I don't think LeBron will retire this year. But I'm talking about eternal stuff. I'm talking about lives changing. Let's look at number three, the last how-to. How it lasts. How does it last? Because I know a lot of people that put in the hard work of rebuilding a relationship only to see it fall apart again, don't y'all? Only to see it, what happened? Why didn't it last? Why didn't that business last? Why didn't that, when they placed their faith in God last? Why didn't they stop the habit? Why didn't it last? They tried to break that bad habit. Why didn't it last? Write this down. For anything to last, it must be dedicated to God. For anything to last, it must be dedicated to God. I'm talking about really lasting all the way to eternity. That's dedication. Not determination. Determination is how you do it. When you're focused and you're zoned in, that's determination. But dedication is who you do it for. Dedication is who you do it for. So for anything to last, it must be dedicated to God. Dedication, to be dedicated, is why you do what you do. If you do it for yourself, then you're only going to do it for yourself, and it won't last. But if you do it for God, you dedicate it to God. The reason things often don't last is that we do it for ourselves. You hear people always say, you got to do it for yourself. Well, it won't last. Chances are it won't last. We got to dedicate it to God. Well, how do you dedicate it to God? That's kind of an interesting thing. Well, I think it has to be almost like a ceremony. That may sound kind of corny and cheesy, but I think it has to be kind of like a ceremony. And you may want to do that right now, today, with your marriage, with your friendships, with your business, is that you just have a ceremony and you rededicate it. That we're going to do this for God. We're not going to do this for ourselves. It might be with your family, like I said, or your business, or maybe it's your heart. Maybe you need to rededicate your heart. And you have a ceremony about it. Look at Nehemiah 12:30. The priest and the Levites first dedicated themselves. Then the people and the gates and the wall. The priests dedicated themselves first. Have you ever done that? Dedicated yourself first to God? The good news is you can do that. You can rededicate. You can dedicate. And here's really good news. You don't have to be perfect to do that. You don't have to be perfect to dedicate yourself to God. Jesus has already given the gift. Where are we at? Romans 12:1 says, so then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Offer yourselves to God. Guys, I got news for you. Most of you know that I ain't perfect. I have to do this every day. I have to offer myself to him every day and dedicate myself every day. It's a daily dedication. Some people, I was at this point in my life, I'll just tell you, this is why I wrote the question down. Why rebuild it all? Why rebuild it all? Why not just give up and start all over? It'd be easier. It'd be easier just to shuck off that bad relationship. It'd be easier just to never speak to mom again. It'd be easier never, to lay eyes on dad again. The reason to rebuild is because of the value of what you're rebuilding. Some of you guys know that I love art. One of my things, I love art. I can't paint a lick and I can't draw a lick, but I appreciate art. And I like to read about it. Did you know that it took 12 years for Michelangelo to paint the Sistine Chapel? Did y'all know that? It took 12 years. Now, over time, he started messing up and flaking off. And do y'all know how long it took to restore it? 14. It took 14 years to restore Sistine Chapel. You know what I thought at first? Why didn't they just paint over? Take a big white roller, a roller with white paint, and start over. It wouldn't have took 14 years. It wouldn't have took as long. You know why they didn't? Because it's priceless. It's a priceless piece of art. So why you should rebuild is because you are priceless. Even more valuable than the Sistine Chapel. Your marriage is more valuable. Your relationships is more valuable than a piece of art. That's why you need to rebuild it. That's why you need to put forth the effort. We rebuild because of the value that God has put on our lives. Now, I know I'm not an idiot, a complete idiot. I act like one sometimes. But I know that sometimes the other person may reject you. And rejection is the toughest emotion I believe there is. to deal with. And I know they may reject you. And I know many relationships that have just faded away. Completely, completely gone. But I also know that there could have been many relationships saved if one person had the faith or the courage to say, could we rebuild this? Could we rebuild this? And I also know, even if that person says, no, no way, Jose, no way, get out of my face, I also know if they say no, that God is going to do some great things in your life because of your willingness to rebuild it. Do you get it? Even if they say no, because of your willingness to begin again, it's going to bless other people's lives. And I know, I told you in the beginning, that it will not look like it did before. But God will bless your life. I urge your pastor, somebody that loves you, take the time to put it back together again. That fear of rejection, you're going to have to face your fear. If you don't face your fears, it's going to squelch your dreams. Don't be a non-dreamer person. God has the answer for all your fears. And when you step out on faith despite your fears, God can do some amazing things. Now, I'm not a prophet. I'm just Jim. I can't promise you that something will happen if you step out on faith to face your fears. But I can promise you that nothing will happen if you don't. I can't promise you something will happen if you face your fears. But I can promise you that nothing will happen if you don't. And here's what I can promise you. That God will meet you there. God will meet you there. Now Lee's going to come sing. And we're going to have a baptism. Amen? Woo-hoo! I want to tell you something. While he's singing, you heard me say something about a ceremony. If you want to come and you want to pray, you want to make a ceremony out of mending a relationship, you want to mark it today, you sure can. You can come and you can mark that time here at the altar and you can pray. Or you can do it from your seat. Grab that person's hand and say, today's the day. I want to rebuild this thing. First, remember, what's the first thing you got to do? You got to dedicate yourself to the Lord our Savior. If you're not dedicated to Him, all the other stuff won't work. You got to get that vertical relationship going first. That's got to be number one. Let's pray. My Lord, I thank you this day. I thank you right now for working in Cammie's life. I thank you that you changed her. And that she, just like us, we're all a work in progress. We got to dedicate ourselves daily. That we're forgiven. And we're going to celebrate a baptism. Even more than a ball game. Lord, I love you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.